Lilian Acosta Sanchez. I'm the director of Latino Outreach for the March of Dimes Foundation. I actually work out of the national office, and my main role at the national office is actually to manage the staff that provides information and referral services to Spanish-speaking consumers. More recently, I've been involved, along with our manager of print materials, in health literacy, transitioning our healthcare materials in both English and Spanish into an easy-to-read format. So I'm going to be actually sharing with you the process, our process of creating easy-to-read materials, more so talk to you about our first bilingual product, my 9 months magazine, which is actually in both languages. And we do have extra copies to hand out. So I'm going to be walking through the whole process of creating this particular easy-to-read product. Does everyone know the mission of the March of Dimes? Well, for those of you who don't, the mission of the March of Dimes is to improve the health of babies by preventing birth defects, premature birth, infant mortality. And we do that via programs of research, education, health advocacy, and community services. What I hope to do during this session is actually to talk to you about the need for easy-to-read materials for women in the childbearing ages, identify the components or the steps that we took in creating the magazine, which actually are quite a lot of them, and also describe the differences in copy and design when working on pieces that are bilingual, especially the Spanish language component. We currently have a portfolio of many print materials under three main categories: preconception, pregnancy, and newborn care topics, in both English and Spanish. We also provide information online via our two websites, marchofdimes.com and also narcersano.org. And they actually contain more topics and more, the information is actually more detailed than some of our print pieces. And we also have the expertise of bilingual health information specialists who actually answer questions from the public one-on-one via email as they relate to their pregnancy or their preconception issues. Our primary audiences, again, are women of childbearing age, and these are women between the ages of 15 and 44, followed by first-time pregnant women, women who are contemplating a pregnancy, they are in their preconception stages, moms, dads, bereaved families, these are families who have experienced the loss of a baby or a pregnancy, and also NICU families, and these are families who either have had an experience of having a baby in the neonatal intensive care unit or are going through that experience currently. So we actually have materials for all of these audiences in our portfolio in English and Spanish. We know the growing problem of health literacy in the country. We know there are about 90 million adults ages 16 and older with limited ability to read and understand health information, and I know Jennifer pointed that out. But why is that important to us? It's important because 62 million women in this country are in the childbearing ages. And somewhere along those lines, they fall into the 90 million. We know that there are more than 4 million live births in the U.S., and 1 in 4 of those live births are to a Hispanic woman. So that actually speaks to the need for having products not just bilingual, but also in just in Spanish, addressing Spanish speakers. The March of Dimes is committed to health literacy. It is actually a goal in our strategic plan 2010. We hope to transition actually all, if not most, if not all of our health education pieces into an easy-to-read format. As part of the process, we actually underwent a national office training where our expert in the field, Wendy Metger, she's here actually in the audience, came out to the national office and actually brought us up to speed, you know, raised awareness about this issue and why we should be doing something about it. And we also have some more targeted training specifically for staff members involved in the product development, like designers and writers. These are some of the products that we've created in an easy-to-read format since 2006. Our designation of easy-to-read is a reading level from 5th to 7th grade. The first one, and I'm just, they're just very pretty, aren't they? Our first one, it's actually on preconception, and it's actually a flyer, it's a two-sided flyer, which lists the main questions a woman should ask or should think about before starting a family or thinking about getting pregnant. The second piece is on the signs and symptoms of preterm labor, and the third for women who are thinking about a pregnancy if they've had a premature birth, again, aligned with our mission. This is our current piece. This is the cover shots of both magazines. And we consider this our signature piece because it actually contains most of our healthy messages in one place. So in an easy-to-read format in both English and Spanish. Even better. So how do we go about getting the magazine done? It's a long process. Well, we made, you know, we did it. We first identified a health literacy consultant, that would be Wendy, who really just gave us the tool. She was instrumental in guiding us, meeting with us, and just assisting us in the whole process. You know, these are some of the components of the process. This is what you should be thinking about. We then identified our target audience, what kind of messages we wanted to include in the magazine, and what was going to be the purpose of the magazine. The copy was then drafted in English. Then it was reviewed. We actually have a clearance process in place where all of our materials are reviewed, including a readability analysis. We then designed the English magazine, or the designers. Once the English copy was approved, it was then sent out for translation. The Spanish language copy was then reviewed, including a readability analysis. I should mention that we also had another consultant working with us specifically on the Spanish language piece. So we had both of them assisting us. And then the magazine was designed for the Spanish side. The magazines were both tested, field tested with the target audience, which included first-time pregnant women and also marginal readers. We then revised the magazine for the testing results. They got printed, and now they're ready for distribution. Here in this room, we have some available.
Should we have another?
We can do it. I don't know if anyone is...
Okay.
Maybe later?
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to focus a little bit on some of the copy variables when it comes to creating bilingual products because there are some differences. You want your piece to be culturally and linguistically appropriate, and you really have to address some of the differences in the language in order to for them to make sense. It needs to speak to your relevant audience. Be aware of idiomatic expressions in both languages. There are words and expressions, for instance, in English that do not have Spanish equivalent at all. So you really have to, you know, explain exactly what you're trying to say. And vice versa, there are Spanish expressions in Spanish that really don't exist in English. And I'll give you an example. In our daily work, we often hear women referring to them trying to get pregnant as intentando. That's, you know, a Spanish word that a lot of Latino families use. However, in English, if you were to translate that literally, it translates into intending to, which is really not the way women talk about trying to get pregnant. You know, they will tell you, I'm trying to get pregnant, but it really doesn't capture the hope that the Spanish language expression actually portrays and captures. Also be aware of the fact that there are many words in Spanish that can refer to one thing. So it all depends on the region, also the country of origin. So how do you address all of those issues as well? And for our purposes, we are coming from a national office trying to reach many women. So we try to be as traditional as possible in our, in the language, in the words that we choose, That's not to say, however, that if someone works specifically with a specific community, that you can't use specific expressions or idiomatic expressions. Also, for the purpose of the magazine, we did not include phonetic spelling. We have a section in the magazine, glossary type, titled Words to Know, where we define commonly used terms, medical terms, in the magazine. And on the English language piece, we actually had to include a phonetic spelling. We didn't have to do that on the Spanish. It's really not necessary. So those were some of the differences in the copy. There were some design variables also to consider for the product, or that we considered. The images, for instance. We conducted a photo shoot specifically to obtain the images that illustrate the copy in the magazine. So we did that. We had to come up with the scenarios, whether it was, an ultrasound shot or a woman talking to their, healthcare provider, etc. So we came up with all of those ahead of time before the photo shoot, and also for the cover shot. We also had to be prepared to revise the design based on the feedback we got from the testing. For instance, when we did the photo shoot, originally we had a pregnant woman on one side on the English, and then on the Spanish we had a mom and a baby. When the magazine went out for testing, the Spanish speakers really didn't want the mom and the baby there, even though we thought it was the appropriate image to have. And we really didn't have another cover. So again, we had to sort of reevaluate and change the cover image for the target audience. So what did we learn from the process? We really couldn't have done it without our consultant. They really, as I mentioned before, they were extremely instrumental in the whole process. We also had to overcome some organizational challenges, believe it or not. The thought and belief that we were dumbing down, the messages by making it an easy-to-read format, when in reality we're trying to reach as many people as possible, not just some, with an easier-to-understand product. Our pieces can be beautiful, they can be creative, even if that means they're in an easy-to-read format. And actually, the images can speak louder than the words on the page, so it's really nice to have the images to illustrate the copy. And we also had to compromise with some elements. For instance, our logo, there were some phrases that we just couldn't get away from, and other style elements that we really just had to compromise with. It's a long but rewarding process. It took over a year to finish the magazine. I think from drafting the English language copy, which happened somewhere in May of 2006, and the magazine then got printed in July of this year. So it took all that time to actually produce a bilingual piece in an easy-to-read format for women and for pregnant women. What are we doing now? We have included a section in the magazine where we ask women to go online and tell us what they think about the magazine. So at this point, we are gathering results. We hope to make sure that all of our new consumer pieces are in an easy-to-read format, and these are some of the ones that we're working on currently. Most of the existing products will be in an easy-to-read format, making eventually more than 85% of them will be easy to read. This is just a slide if you're interested in contacting Wendy, who's in the audience. Wendy Medgar and Araceli Rosales, they both belong to the Clear Language Group. They were wonderful. And I just also want to say thank you to Karen. Karen Kroeder actually has spearheaded this whole project out of the national office. So, and she's really embraced it and has taken the time really to educate everyone about the importance of health literacy. And this is our contact information. I think that's it. Has to do with language adaptation and how do we go about how do we address that via testing and then revising the product. She works in Massachusetts specifically with Portuguese and Spanish. Actually sent out to the translation house. It came back to the national office where myself and other staff member actually reviewed it. So we made some changes before it actually went out for testing. The field testing actually was one-on-one, so it was the consultant with the individual, either the pregnant woman or the marginal reader. So really, we really didn't have much problems with specific words, etc. There was some. Yes, absolutely, yes. Especially to address those issues, just in case we, you know, were a little off. But yes, but they were one-on-one. There were 10 for each. So 10 for the Spanish language and also 10 for the English.
Mm-hmm. I have another question.
Sure.
So why did you decide in publishing them together? You know, why not make one in English and one in Spanish? What did you expect to achieve?
We do have a lot of pieces already in both languages, and I think we wanted. Why do we do that? It's all in one place. We have been doing a little bit of research on our own, and we had actually thought about combining both languages in one, in just one easy place for the information to be. And we had seen other pieces that, for instance, targeted only, let's say, Hispanic population, and they were both in English and Spanish. I don't know. For us, it made sense to have it in one place.
My feeling would be that it's for you, not for the people, not for the audience. Somehow I feel that the audience would choose to offer me the English or the people.
I would say, I will tell you that some of the comments we got from the field testing was very positive around having the piece being in a bilingual. Right. Actually, the women who were English dominant, for instance, said, I think it's great. And Wendy conducted the field testing for us, felt very positive about the fact that, oh, this is great. It just doesn't stop there. Same thing with the Spanish. You will encounter that there are a lot of Latinos in this country that prefer to read in English. Yeah. So again, it's...